Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
During His brief earthly ministry, Jesus stood and preached truth, timeless, eternal, unchanging, life-changing truth. You can bet that His message is important for today and a great way to start a new year. Next on Daily in the Word, we consider the preaching of Christ with Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and Happy New Year from all of us at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. The message of Jesus Christ is timeless, it's eternal, and it is so important for our lives today. In fact, understanding what Jesus preached during His brief earthly ministry is a great way to start the new year. And so, these days together, we are discovering the preaching of Christ and what mattered to Jesus and why it should matter to us. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. If you'd like more information about our ministry or this broadcast, or if you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your computer or iPod, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 verses 1 through 8 as we consider Christ's preaching on prophecy, a timeless message that is very applicable to today. Later this month we will study an entire series on prophecy entitled Times Are Changing that begins on the 13th of January. But today let's find out what Jesus Christ had to say in His prophetic preaching.
There has been a lot of prognosis made in the last several days about the election, about the state of the economy, about subjects pertaining to international terrorism and the state of various affairs around the world. And as people make their guesses and their prognosis, it's interesting to notice that oftentimes man guesses, but man is wrong. We've seen that throughout world history. For example, back in 1911, a man by the name of Marshall Ferdinand said, and I quote, "Airplanes are interesting toys, but they have no military value." In Business Week 1958, it was written, "With over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a big slice of the U.S. market." December the 4th, 1941, Frank Knox, the Secretary of the Navy, said, "Whatever happens, the U.S. Navy is not going to be caught napping." And in 1929, October 16th, economist Irving Fisher said, quote, "Stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau." Now, throughout history, man has made his best guess, and he has often been wrong. Over the centuries, men have tried to predict the end of the world. What's going to happen at the end of time? In recent days, there have been a couple of calendars catching the eye of the media and some who have wondered about the end times. The sacred Aztec calendar is properly called the Eagle Bowl. And this calendar has been inscripted on various forms of pottery and Various diggings have unearthed this particular calendar of the Aztec peoples, and their calendar ends on December 24th, 2011. The final epoch of their calendar will be completed. The Mayan calendar is divided into seven ages of man, and their calendar ends on Sunday, December 23rd, 2012. Now, whatever the culture, whatever the people group, there seems to be this common concept on world in the world that this world as we know it will come to an end at some point in the future. There will be some cataclysmic event. There will be some great war. There will be some famine. Something will bring the world to an end. And it's interesting, as Jesus gathers with his disciples in Matthew 24, he begins to speak to them concerning the end times. And they were curious about it. The Bible says in verse number 3, what will it be like at the end of the world, they asked Jesus Christ. This particular passage takes place at the end of the ministry of Jesus. He is now just a few days away from being arrested and taken before Pontius Pilate for his mock trial there. And this message has been referred to down through the ages as the Olivet Discourse. It is Jesus Christ outside of the temple and there in the Mount of Olives speaking concerning the end times. And the Lord Jesus used the temple as an illustration, saying, the temple you see and the stones that you see are not going to be like this in the end times. There will be nothing that resembles the present day sight, Jesus said. And he began to teach them concerning the end of the world. He gave them various indicators concerning the last days, and he spoke to them concerning the days of tribulation and then his second coming. He shows that there would be many birth pains the world would experience before his second coming. And just maybe to put it in perspective for us, a brief chart, we're living currently in what's called the church age. Some call it the age of grace. This is the time where the gospel is going out. Churches are being established. People are accepting Christ as Savior. And we thank God that we live in this age of His grace. We believe that at the end of this age, the Bible speaks in 2 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and following, there will take place a catching away of the Christians. Some call it the rapture, the catching away of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. The Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of God and the sound of the trumpet of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now from that time there will be a 7-year period, sometimes referred to as Daniel's 70th week. The first few years of that 7-year period will be peaceful. The Antichrist will be a man who presents himself as Christ. People follow him, and he will seemingly bring in a time of world peace. But then towards the latter portion of that tribulation, there will be horror on this world and on this earth like has never been seen before. At the end of the tribulation period, however, there will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to show you the chart so that you don't misunderstand the rapture of the church with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people know about the first coming. I mean, Mary and Joseph and the manger and the shepherds and all of the events surrounding the first coming of Christ are somewhat familiar to us. But most Christians today are not as well versed in the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what Matthew 24 really focuses upon. You see, the passage is speaking contextually to the Jews about how God will deal with His children in the last days. But as we study it, we also see the unfolding of God's plan throughout the ages. And so this morning, let's take a moment with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Perhaps you can see in your mind's eye the temple there and the disciples gathered around just asking the Lord, Lord, what's it going to be like at the end of the world? And Jesus begins by explaining to them that there will be in the last days an expansion of false religion. False religion is going to be abundant. He says in verse 4, if you have your Bible or your notes, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, Jesus makes it very clear that his children would need discernment in the last days. He says deceivers will arrive, and their method will be misleading. They will come along acting as if they are religious leaders with the answers for the day. But Jesus said, be very, very careful. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we see the Bible reminds us that in the last times, we don't need to just put her in neutral and kind of coast along, but we need to be discerning and alert and sober. For Jesus says that many will come to deceive you, verse number 5, and many will be deceived. That means many will be led away from the truth. Many will be turned away from God's revelation. Now, the message of the New Age religions today is a message that calls for all religions to coexist. We see it very prevalent in televised New Age Bible studies, and we hear about Hollywood movie stars who are involved in Eastern mysticism and studying religions from the East. And the New Age philosophy, which I believe the Antichrist promotes, is the philosophy of coexisting with all faiths. The problem is that the message is not so much about coexistence as it is about co-equality. That is, bringing Jesus down to the level of all the other gods or of all the other religions. A moment ago, we sang a song concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. All hail the power of Jesus' name, the song said. We have sung this morning songs about the Lamb of God and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians today, we believe that our Savior was God in the flesh and that He shed His blood for the sins of the world and that He rose again on the third day, unlike any other God that has ever been presented. We serve a risen Savior today. And we are not to bring our Savior down to the God shelf and on equality plane with the gods of this world, but He is to be exalted above every single name. His name is Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist will ride in on a platform of coexisting with all of the faiths. Author by the name of William Hendrickson said, a supplemented Christ is a supplanted Christ. In other words, if we can make Christ just a part of the amalgamation of the religions of the world, just another God, then we have literally supplanted Him from being the God who created this universe. Charles Spurgeon said, you cannot have unity without compromising the truth. And to forsake truth for the sake of unity is to betray Jesus Christ. And so while we hear much talk about coexistence and all the religions being about the same, that is the very message the Antichrist wants to proliferate, for it is a downgrading of the person and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their message, Jesus says, is misleading. It will deceive people. Secondly, their number is increasing. The Bible says in verse 5, for many shall come in my name. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, but the Bible says, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. 1 John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. God commands us to walk with discernment. He commands us in Philippians chapter 1 to let our love abound with all knowledge and wisdom, that is, with discernment. We're not just to love something because it has a steeple or because it's in the name of religion. We are to rightly divide the word of truth, and we are to study the scriptures and know whether or not something is of God. We are to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. What I'm trying to say this morning is that before the Antichrist steps onto the world forefront and the platform of the world powers of religion and politics, there will be a spirit of Antichrist that begins to rise. And the spirit of the Antichrist will be a spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It will be a spirit of coexisting, but not a spirit of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is on this platform of ecumenicism that the Antichrist will begin to build his base. And so the number of false teachers is increasing today. Time does not permit us to name so many of false religions who are supplanting the Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice, thirdly, their presentations will be convincing. The presentations will be convincing. The Bible says in verse 5, they will deceive many. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, I believe the world, even at this moment, is looking for a man who can stop the wars and solve the economic problems and bring peace and prosperity, stop disease and stop poverty. And when such a man appears on the scene, he will be readily received by the world. Deceivers will arrive, the Bible says. But notice, secondly, disorderliness will prevail in the world at this particular time. Verse number 12 is a very interesting verse. I want you to find that and notice what it says. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now let's read that together. Ready, begin. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All right, what does that mean? Well, the Bible says that in these last times, before the second coming of Jesus, perhaps just prior to the tribulation, and of course during the tribulation, the Bible says in verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound. This will be a very wicked time. Now, I believe this morning that the aligning of these prophecies is coming into place. Politically, socially, and religiously, we're seeing the preparation for the days of tribulation. I believe it's highly possible the Antichrist would be alive even as we sit in this auditorium. And the Bible says that in this last time, especially during the time of great sorrow, the time of the tribulation, but I believe even leading into that time, there will be iniquity abounding, because iniquity shall abound. Folks, we're living in that day. We're living in a day when iniquity abounds. My wife and I were down in Beverly Hills at the Cedars-Sinai Hospital on Friday, and we drove through Hollywood on the way trying to get back to the freeway and to get home. We forgot that it was Halloween day. And boy, they had streets blocked off, and they had every kind of a creature walking up and down the street, dressed wickedly and immodestly and vilely, celebrating Satan's holiday. People are more excited every year about Satan's holiday as they celebrate witches and goblins and as they dress in ways that are unbelievable. And we begin to see firsthand what this verse talks about, iniquity abounding. We heard this past weekend of many men rushing to get married yesterday in case Proposition 8 passes. And as they stand kissing one another and flaunting what the Bible speaks against, we see this in our society today. I don't think I need to go much further. You have a television. You watch the news. You heard about the children across America who were shot while they were out trick-or-treating. Everywhere we look, we see the signs of a society that morally and spiritually is on the decline. And because iniquity is abounding, notice the effect it has on even God's people. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. People who should love righteousness, people who should stand up for what is right, their love just kind of waxes cold. And they kind of grow complacent and say, hey, whatever happens, happens, as long as it doesn't affect me. And I want you to understand that in these last days, disorderliness and ungodliness seems to be very prevalent. And may I say this morning that the passing of Proposition 8 is not about discrimination. It is about honoring God and His Word. Miss Feinstein was on the television this week saying we don't want to have discrimination. What we need to be more worried about is what the Word of God says and standing by what God has blessed in this great nation. You see, disorderliness will abound. But notice, thirdly, Jesus says destruction will follow. Now, verse 15 is interesting. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now keep that little phrase, abomination of desolation. We're going to study that in just a moment. The Bible says that ultimately the Antichrist will come to power and he will establish himself as an object of worship. First, the Antichrist will be revered in the world. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, he will have power and signs and lying wonders, and people will be enamored with him. And I believe that many people today who follow the New Age Christs, who have strong globalistic philosophies, I mean people who live in our neighborhoods and in our state, right now, if there was such a person on the scene who would offer a one-world government and a one-world solution to our economic problems and to our problems concerning disease and all of the problems concerning health in the world, there are many people right now who would, yea, abandon their national pride and gladly vote for such a person to be their leader. That one world, we are the world philosophy has been taught to many of you since you were little children in school. And this idea that there would be a man who could solve all the world's problems is something the Bible speaks about. But then also, the Antichrist will promise this peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so we see the Antichrist is revered in the world, and the Antichrist promises peace. But notice thirdly, the Antichrist will demand worship. Something happens in the middle of the tribulation period that is unbelievable. This popular person that the world has come to love and admire and follow suddenly demands that he is worshiped in the temple. And that is what verse 15 speaks about when it speaks about the abomination of desolation. And the Bible says concerning this matter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's a turning away from the truth. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Suddenly the Antichrist will demand worship, and suddenly there will come upon the earth a tremendous time of trial and persecution like the world has never known. And so the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, there will be an expansion of false religion. Be careful of the deceivers. Be careful of the many antichrists who will prepare the way for the antichrist who will establish himself as an object of worship. An expansion of false religion will precede the time of the coming of the Lord. Notice secondly this morning, there will be an escalation of fearful events. I can imagine the disciples listening to Jesus. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's talking about antichrists. He's talking about deception. He's talking about someone who demands that they are worshipped in the temple. I can imagine the disciples looking at themselves saying, no way, this is unbelievable. But Jesus speaks on, and he says in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Notice verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows, commonly known as the first half of the tribulation, the beginning of the sorrows. But I believe, again, the aligning of these particular events could be taking place even now in this age in which we live. What are some of the fearful events Jesus speaks about? First, he says there will be a rise in international conflict. Nation will rise against nation, verse 6 says. People group against people group. We have seen this with Croatia and Bosnia. We have seen it in Africa. Some of you are familiar with the Second Congo War, or what is sometimes called the Great African War. From 1998 to 2003, this particular war brought more bloodshed in Africa than any other war. In fact, by 2008, the ultimate aftermath of this had cost the lives of 5.4 million people. Nation rising up against nation. Just yesterday, the Associated Press reported Tutsi-led rebels tightened their hold on newly seized swaths of eastern Congo Saturday, forcing tens of thousands of frightened, rain-soaked civilians out of makeshift refugee camps. You see, we sit here in America, and if it's not like the bombing of New York, it doesn't really bother us a whole lot that millions or hundreds of thousands of people's lives are being taken. But the Lord Jesus said that this would be indicative of the last time, nation against nation.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Considering the Preaching of Christ. We're starting a new year by rediscovering what was Jesus' central message, what did he preach about in his brief earthly ministry, And why is it important for us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives? If you would like to hear this entire message or any of the recent broadcasts from Daily in the Word, we do invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to contact us. You'll also find a link to subscribe to a complimentary daily devotion from Dr. Chappell that can arrive in your email box each and every day. You can also subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your iPod or computer, or refer it to a friend who maybe does not live in an area where our program is broadcast. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chappell entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us. And we're easy to contact, toll-free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.